Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may he give us a clean and pure life free from sins, cleansed from sins, in the state of iman, in the state of purity. May Allah ta'ala take us from this dunya. My friends, this is our trying and our efforts that we are implementing so that we can be saved from sins, so we can save ourselves from sins. Because if we leave sins and save ourselves from sins, only then can we be pure and pure. If we don't implement sins, then we can be clean. With sins, nobody can be clean and pure. Look, if we consider that the human being is in a unique situation, that a person, he knows, he realizes, and he, despite this, he continues to sin. Beyond sin, today we are living in the generation of not just sin but fitna, and there's something beyond sin of a bigger magnitude. The lifestyle we have, the style of life, it has become such, which we can say is that we live the life of choice, what we want to do. We follow our will, our free will, what we feel like doing, we will adopt that lifestyle. And this is a waste of life for the human being. We don't accept any guidance, we don't adopt any guidance, even though Allah Ta'ala's order is that totally enter into Islam and practice totally within the boundary of Islam. So this life is empty, it's void, it's got a void in it, and it's very dangerous with regards to the hereafter. We need to look at this closely, understand this closely. And there are punishments, Allah Ta'ala's displeasure with His servant, with His creation. And our duty is that we totally enter into Islam and live our lives according to Islam totally. There should be nothing left, no gap, no crack, nothing. There's a reason for everything, isn't there? Yes, isn't there? Eventually. Why do we say eventually? Because what is the hal of the dunya at this moment in time? The people who have understanding and wisdom and intellect, they are drowning in this life of free will, following desires. And there's a reason for this. What's the reason? For everything there's a reason. This heart, there are many diseases in the heart, many defects in the heart, many maladies in the heart, many things that are lacking in the heart, and the most dangerous of diseases are contained in the heart of the human being. And the heart continues to deceive. There are such diseases and illnesses in the heart that continue to deceive and take a person off track. And from all of those diseases, one of the dangerous ones, and as long as that disease is in our hearts, if it is not eliminated, then that human being cannot adopt the right and straight path. We need to understand this clearly. Now that disease, if we eliminate it, go distant from it, go far from it, then we can come onto the straight path. That is an ajeeb and unique and horrible illness, defect. And that defect is that from the heart of the human being, or in the heart of the human being, the answer or the recognition or the awareness of doing wrong has ended. From our hearts, the understanding or the feeling, the sense of feeling or recognition of something, yes, of giving the answer, just answering back. Let me make it a bit more clear so you can understand what I'm saying. That at the time when a human being from his heart, when a person ceases to recognize the reason for why he's doing something is right or wrong, then he starts to follow his own desires. So what is this sense, that emotion that we should have in our hearts? You understand, giving an answer, jawab. In other words, to make a request, or to say that when this feeling ends, that we don't have to answer to anybody. So when a person ceases to realize that he is answerable to anyone, that there's nobody who will ask me, there's nobody who will hold me to account, there's nobody above me, I am my own boss, I don't have a boss. I can give you an example, worldly example, so you can understand in a good way. That let's say that there's a department in which There's no one answerable to anyone. You don't have a boss. You work in such a section or department. You have no boss. So what will happen there? Somebody call him at 9 a.m. Somebody call him at 8 a.m. Somebody call him at 7 a.m. Somebody call him at leave at 12 midday. Somebody will do this job. Somebody will sit down and keep on telephoning others. Somebody will start smoking cigarettes. Somebody will have tea breaks. Will this happen or not? Yes, because when in that office or department or section, there's no boss. If there's no boss, then that person's his own boss. He says, now if there's a boss, he'll say, work. What will the person? Somebody will come at 10 a.m. It's up to me. I can go when I want. I'll go at 8 a.m. It's all right today. I've got something else to do. I need to do shopping with my wife today. So I'll go at 12 o'clock. I can go at 12 o'clock. Whatever you want to do in that section, department, you can do. Because there's nobody to answer to. So can that department or section or company progress? Won't that company collapse? Of course. And then there's another department in which you have to be answerable to somebody. How much have you worked? What time did you come? Did you do this job? Why didn't you come? Yes, and mashallah, you run your shops and businesses and you work there, don't you? So can you allow such an employee that you have to wake, open the shop at 9, he comes at 12 o'clock and says, give me my wages. After 3 days, you will say, sorry, please go, please leave me. I'll run the shop myself. You say this, won't you? So isn't there a difference here? The difference is that where there's somebody to answer to, where there's someone who will question, where there's a boss, then a person will be cautious. Yaar, I go 8 a.m., I got to go early, I don't want to get the sack, I don't want to be given the layoff. And you won't sit there and use your phone or drink tea. Even salah time, the boss will give you the time off for salah. Otherwise, he won't even move from his seat. If boss says, no, you have to pray salah here, then he's forced to pray there because he doesn't want to lose his job. So what do we call this? Somewhere where the employee has to answer to somebody. And somebody will ask, have you worked or not? And then he'll give the salary. And where there's nobody to answer to, what will the insan do? The employee do? He'll enjoy himself, do what he wants. So for ourselves in our hearts, we have no recognition or emotion that we have to answer to anyone. There's no one to ask. No boss. And we're on holiday. And when this recognition ends in the heart of a person, will you pray salah? No, I ain't pray salah. Because who wakes you up for salah? Who wakes you up for salah? Who allows you to wake? Which khawf, which fear? That Allah, that if I don't wake up and pray salah, then I'll be unhappy and I'll go into hellfire. Will you not get up? Who will make us fast? If I don't keep the fast, then I have to answer to Allah. It'll be difficult. Yes, who will save us from haram? Yes, this recognition, emotion that look, I'm doing something wrong here. That if I do this, then what answer will I give to Allah Ta'ala? So in the same way, a person, when he ceases to have the recognition in his heart that I am not answerable to anyone. Now when you have the feeling that you are answerable to anyone and this increases, then you become the more increasing, you can say, the person who obeys Allah more and more. But when a person ceases to have this feeling, then he becomes more disobedient, more disobedient, more disobedient. He gets to the stage of severe disobedience. And the person who has this totally wiped out in his heart, this feeling that he is answerable, then he rejects the deen and he rejects what he's doing. So when an individual commits sins, more and more when he commits sins, then most definitely at that time our feeling is that we don't need to give an answer to anyone, that Allah is watching us, Allah will ask us. We don't know that Allah Ta'ala will question us. We don't feel that. We don't have that feeling. Then how can this be? Can a person leave salah? No, he can never leave salah. No. A third person, he won't worry about the third person. He will be worrying about himself. Oh, my uncle, what will he say? What will that other person say? What will my peer sahab say? What will he say? No. What will be the fear? What will Allah say? And he jumps from his bed at that time. Jumps. Subhanallah. And when an individual always does his tazkiyah, always we can do a tazkiyah very easily. Then when Allah Ta'ala's order comes, and we do not implement Allah's order, then there's one reason for that. That within us, the recognition is being eroded away. Eroded away. And it will get less, it will get less. And for example, there are two opposition parties working against us, nafs and shaitan. And if you keep on injecting against them, that they don't want us to be aware or to recognize Allah Ta'ala, we have to answer to Him. And they suppress us. And they squash us into that corner, squeeze us into that corner. No, you don't need to worry. It's okay. 5, 6 a.m. people are waking up for salah. Somebody else is waking up 10, 12 midday. 10, 12 midday. One person doesn't get breakfast when he gets up. The other person having chickens and eggs. Look at the difference. So those people whose minds are weak and they are busy in the diseases of the heart. They say, look, I've got up for salah and I'm not getting anything. And here, he doesn't even pray salah. He's having eggs and he's enjoying and he's got things in the dunya. So there's another test and challenge that confronts us when we have difficulties on top of practicing the deen. So despite the fact that in reality, the sujood is not eating eggs, he's eating the punishment of Allah. He's consuming the punishment. Allah has given him enjoyment, so-called in the world. Allah has given him the veil of adab, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't even want that person to recognize that I'm doing wrong. Allah Ta'ala doesn't let difficulties come to that person. Allah Ta'ala doesn't let difficulties come to that person. That's another punishment. So another disease envelopes that person's heart. So when an individual sees that I am weak, I'm committing sins, I'm doing wrong, or I'm not doing the right, and if that person's not feeling at that time that Allah's watching me, what will happen? Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, this was during his generation, you probably heard this before, great event example, and we all know that what a great Sahabi companion Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that if after me there was to be a prophet, it would be Umar. Subhanallah. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, what he was, great personality, and he was Amirul Mu'mineen at the time when he was the Amir of the Faithful, and he was on a journey on his own, he was on some task, and due to he was such an Amirul Mu'mineen, night and day he would wander around to ask the people in his Ummah, what is happening? The Umar is sitting crying. Why are you crying, Umar? What's the problem? What's the issue? What was making him cry? The recognition, awareness, consciousness, Allah's awareness, that Allah will ask me, what will I do? Allah will ask me this question, what will I do? There's such a height, a lofty awareness that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, such a lofty awareness he had, Hazrat Umar, that if after me there was to be a Nabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, then it would be Umar. Allahu Akbar. This was hal. And when a person's desires are crushed, so one even the people of that time, who those people, Abu Jahl, look at him. And the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in front of him. He didn't recognize. He saw the moon split into two. He didn't understand he was a sinner. He's still there running around whistling. And they're wandering around the Kaaba naked. And they're doing fahashi acts, immodest acts. So all of that generation, we see the examples of right and wrongs. This is what we need to think about. That why are we committing sins? Because the recognition and awareness of Allah has ended. This was the day and age of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And he was wandering on a journey. He was on his own. He passed by a desert area or a jungle area, and he was hungry, he was thirsty, and he saw that there was a shepherd at that time who was herding his goats. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Mashallah, you've got goats. Let me speak to him." He went up to him, said, "Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam." And he said that, he didn't say, "I'm Umar." He said that, "These goats of yours, I'm a Musafir journeyman, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty as well." And he said, "I'm poor, what can I do for you? How can I serve you?" He said, no, you don't need to do anything, just do this, that one goat, give me the milk and take the money. And he was illiterate from the desert, a shepherd, a servant, and he's given the answer to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, "No, Mulana, the point here is that you have taken this wrong. You've understood me wrong. These are not my goats. I'm not the Malik. I'm just herding the goats. I'm an employee for the Malik, for the owner. There's an owner of these goats. And look at this, subhanAllah." And this was the generation of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everybody had an awareness of Allah that had been increased. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As the generations get further away from me, their recognition of Allah will get weaker. What will happen to me and you? The sins we see in the world now, this is due to the fact that we do not feel we answerable to Allah. There are such a department in the world today. There's no boss. There's no Quran. These are not the commandments of Allah we say in the Quran. These are not the orders of Allah. Everything's annihilated, eliminated, diminished. Here in the member, kitabs, ta'aleem, here it's happening, this happening, everything goes, but we don't have recognition and awareness that here we here, don't do this, and then we go and we do the action in the morning. We repeat the action in the morning. We don't even think, why did I do this action? Why did I do this action? Listen to my words very carefully. Then after that, listen to the recording again. I don't mention stories. Inshallah, if you hear to what I'm saying carefully, intensely, and do amal, I tell you, you will get to the highest stages of paradise. I tell you this now. These majalis, these gatherings, these aren't time waste majalis gatherings. Listen to me carefully. Whoever makes himself, but to become is very hard. Let me say this as well. To become on the right path is hard, but it's not a minor fact. You hear and you implement. I tell you right here, I don't have a desire to speak without wasting time. and people say, oh, he speaks a lot, he says this and that. I don't have the desire or inclination to keep talking without an objective. If from Allah Ta'ala a point doesn't come to my heart, I don't speak. I tell you the truth. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, I tell you the truth. Right thing. Allah Ta'ala inserts into my heart, I do dua to Allah, Allah puts a point into my heart, then I speak. Then first and foremost, I speak to myself to do my islah, my own rectification. Remember what I'm saying, Allah, I am in need, desperate of Islam, going to a majlis, let me speak in such a way that I can rectify myself, and rectify those who are there, and the ummah, they get islah as well, rectification. And when the ummah's islah is done, then Allah Ta'ala prepares for that. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Without any preconditions, Allah creates such individuals. May Allah Ta'ala give them barakah and blessings in their life, that they write my words. Subhanallah. Allah has put such jazba, passion in their life, that they had no passion or desire in this line, but with such passion and love, they're writing a fourth, mashallah, volume of maktubat is about to be published. I didn't say to anybody nothing, totally not, it's not my desire, I don't give that instruction, and I'm the sheikh that I never, for example, I'm the murid, that sheikh who never wrote any publication, even Shadra, I said to Hazrat, for the sake of Allah, people asking, who is anyone before you, is there anyone, I'm stuck in such a place in England, people question, and I've met such people who confront me, and I didn't come to Bolton that time, and other people at that time, with different aqeedah, they used to joke against me, just he's a young man, where's he become a peer from, there's no sheikh before him, no teacher, no ijazah, permission, what silsila are you? And I would say that I said we haven't got nothing written, recording and writing, people ask me and I feel ashamed, I can answer them, please allow me to write the shajra. Subhanallah, Hazrat Sahib within a week wrote such ashar of the shajra, such verses of the shajra, that if you remember them, memorize them, there will be a dua. That such beautiful verses, it is a dua that a person, alhamdulillah, that there's nothing that is not contained in those verses in the ashar of the shajra that Hazrat Sahib wrote. Then Hazrat gave me hukam that now you've made me write these, so now deliver the benefit to those people. They're in the country, people understand Urdu less, give them translation in English of these ashar, these verses. Hazrat Sahib said this. And Hazrat once asked me, have you done this? Have you translated? At that time, until that time, I had not translated. So, bidhnillah, this is from Allah. So, I am that person who picked up the shoes of that sheikh. I am not worthy of anything. But Allah Ta'ala automatically arranges with passion and fervor. How great will be those people who are doing this work of the deen? He's not doing for that. I mean, that individual, he's doing the work of the Naqshbandi Mashaykh. Silsilba Naqshband. Whoever does the khidmat, the service of the silsila Naqshband, remember, he's not doing the service of the sheikh, he's serving the whole silsila. So he's sitting as a worker. MashaAllah. If you love your sheikh, you're not just loving your sheikh, rather you're loving the whole silsila. MashaAllah. All of the barakat and tawajjuhat, the focus and attention of all the sheikhs will come. I tell you a great statement of Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi, rahmatullahi. Imagine here, I've come to this side a little bit. As we're speaking, the subject's come to this side. A G point, when I think about this, then my thinking and my emotions change. Hazrat Sahib said that you think that this zakr e qalbi, the dhikr of heart, you think it's a minor? He said, I, Fazal Ali Qureshi, will tell you that when a student starts to do dhikr e qalbi, in other words, maraqba, silent dhikr, at that time the arwah, all of the ruh, the souls of the sheikhs, subhanallah, they come to that gathering to get their food, their spiritual sustenance food, their khuraq, the heart of the person who's doing dhikr ismizati becomes the food. Not only do the angels come, but the ruh, the good ruhs, the good souls used to eat food in the world when they were alive. All the ruh, the souls of the mashayikh, the awliya Allah, they are pure. They don't eat food, do they? In the graves. And their ruh, is their food then is dhikr Allah, their khuraq. So these were the people of sahib kashf. So when you sit and you do dhikr of Allah, then put yourself together, pull yourself together. Allah has given us great ni'mah, great reward. That just like subhanAllah, you know, for example, Nizam Sikka, he was in the Hindustan, Indian subcontinent, who was a leader, who had a leadership. Have you heard his name? Suddenly he got the leadership. He was maybe not worthy. It's such a story where he wasn't worthy. Suddenly he became a king. Sakka, do you understand? When a person suddenly lands something, it is something, something difficult. I don't know which people are sitting in front of me. What language do they understand? They don't understand Urdu, no Farsi, no Adwa, no Gujarati. So this is the problem, difficulty. Wherever I got stuck, yaar. Anyway, Sakka is, you don't even know this, Mashiki. You understand? Mashiki, the definition of this word, you know, for example, water in the houses when you'd fill up the vessel and then you deliver the water to other people. What do you say this in Gujarati? Pukkal. Yes. So that was there, he had that, and they made him Nizamuddin Badshah, and he was that person who made those vessels. He said, I'll give you leadership for some days. And his job where he manufactured, and then he carried out the leadership job, not very, very cleverly. So we know we've got dhikr of Allah. We could not imagine how we suddenly landed the dhikr of Allah. Then when I look at the lives of the mashayikh akram, the mashayikh of our own generation, to learn this name of Allah, what struggles they had to go through, the efforts they made. Yes, such mujahida and striving and struggling to learn the name of Allah, this ajiz, this humble servant, to learn the name of Allah. When I used to go to Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh, then, for example, it wasn't Al-Falah Masjid that time. I just go locally. 10,000 miles away, I had to travel to Hazrat Sahib to live and learn and stay there. And today you come making a fuss and you have to beg you to come. And texts go to you, reminders, notifications. The system the people have made, mashallah. The messages go, the reminders go via telephone. And after such preparation, we still make a fuss and we gather together. So we'll only get the amount we make effort. If even then we don't attain nothing, then what's the point? So this is a great treasure. What a great statement. That as soon as a person starts to sit and do dhikr of Allah in his heart, then his shape, his form inside, it changes. His form and condition inside changes. And he becomes like a bubble of nur, because this is ismi dhat Allah. Sabbaha lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Allah Ta'ala praises his dhikr. What a great praise. I'll speak about this tomorrow, inshallah, to you. This verse. Imagine this. So especially the dhikr of the heart, dhikr qalbi, because dhikr qalbi is what? This is that position where a person, he detaches himself from everything. He doesn't even close his eyes, his tongue, mouth, lips, heart. Everything stops. He's not saying anything from his lips, his mouth. That heart in which Allah Ta'ala said, I love the most that the organ within the body of man is trying. Allah, 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 repeating the name of Allah. So imagine, will the answer not come from Allah? From the heavens, all the ruh, the souls of the mashayikh, the pious predecessors, they listen and they come to the gathering. They take their sustenance. I don't know this. This is the statement of Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi that I've presented to you. Otherwise you'll say, oh, I've never seen this, I've not felt this. Don't start looking towards your heart, who's come, who's going, has this wali Allah come, buzur come. Don't worry about these things. So, what were we speaking about? That when an individual, when his recognition and awareness in his heart, it diminishes that he is answerable to anyone, Allah, then it will be like that department where people, employees come whenever they want. And our life has become like this now. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, give me the milk, take the money. Milk the goat. He said, no, you've misunderstood me. I'm not the Malik. I'm not the owner. So if it was someone like today, he would say, hey, take the milk. Give me the money. How much milk do you want, Janab? Is there anyone else with you, behind you? Send him. I'll give you some more milk. I'll give him as well. Until the evening I'm here, I'm herding the goats, and I'll empty the udders of all the goats and give you the milk, and then I'll go. This is what we'd say today. But he'd open his own farm up and make money and profit. And then he'd say, why did you sack me? Why did you take me out? Why did you take me out? They consumed the whole country's wealth and say, why did you expel me? Look at this. So my brothers, so Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he shook a little bit. He said, wah, good, this worker, what's he saying, the servant? He said, I am not the Malik, the owner of the goats. He's somebody else. I'm just herding the goats. I'll go in the evening and I'll present your request that as long as these goats are with me, he is the Malik. And he has given these goats to me as a trust. Subhanallah. Amanat, trust. What a great statement. He said that this is the trust that has been given to me. The goats have been entrusted to me, and I have to return the goats to the Malik, the owner. Well, how can you say this to me? From which village have you come from? He said to Hazrat Umar, he said, I can't do these things here. You understand? Hazrat Umar said, oh, he's a good man. Lofty status. He said, okay, what we'll do then? He said, let me test him a little bit. Is he acting out a drama, or is he genuine? He said, okay, do this. If you don't listen to what I'm saying, then let me go to the next level. He said, what? He said that, look, do this then. That take some more money from me and sell these goats to me. Yeah, that's a more simple solution. I'll tell you that I have to go on a journey. I'll take the goats with me, and I'll drink the milk. And he said, you know, I'm on a journey. I'm a musafir. Take the money, give me the goats, and then tomorrow, when you go back to your malik in the evening, you know it's normal that the wolf devours the goats. And so you can just say that the wolf ate the goats. What can I do? It's out of my control. I don't know where your goats have gone, the ones that are not here. And then you'll be successful and I'll be successful. He's not looking at you, is he? Your Malik. Your master. And he, before he gave the answer, he looked at the face of Hazrat Umar with intensity. He said, this man doesn't look like this. What kind of words is he telling me? He was from the countryside, but he could see the nur of Nabuwa in Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu. And he was a bit taken aback that this man doesn't look like he's like this character. So he gave one answer. And according to that standard, he said, yes, he's not here. And Hazrat Umar said, he's not looking at you. Why are you afraid of the owner? He said, oh, fa inna Allah. He said, what kind of man are you? Now, where is Allah? Tell me, where is Allah? If he's not watching me, is Allah not watching me? Allahu Akbar. This is recognition, awareness. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is awareness of Allah. Recognition that we're answerable. He said, my Malik, my master, my boss is not watching me. But first is Allah. Boss is after. So now I'm telling you the philosophy of his answer. Away from the hadith. What's the philosophy behind this? What he's saying is that Malik, I'm not going to answer to him. First and foremost, death is in front of me. Death. If I die now, then my boss won't ask me. But whoever's going to ask me can ask me right now, within a second, if I pass away. They tell me, why did you do that bad action? Why did you do that breaking of trust? At any time, I could return to my Lord. I'll be questioned immediately. This was his awareness, deep awareness. And we need this today, Allahu Akbar. That when we start to do something wrong, then we should have this feeling within us that you're starting to do this wrong? Madman? What is this you're about to do? Don't you know that Allah Ta'ala is watching you? What answer will you give to Allah? And there you will then sweat and be ashamed. And if a human being becomes like this, subhanAllah, from Allah comes a call that he has become mine. He has become mine. All of you are sat here. You're all ghos and kudub sat here, aren't you? So if you develop this recognition and awareness, that's when you will succeed. You won't have this from wearing imamas or having beards. This is not from dahir. From the external. Zahir, changing the zahir, the external self, doesn't make a person pious. Rather, it makes him more dangerous for him. Insan, he becomes a servant. Well, at that time, when internally he changes. Yes, internally. Internally he needs to change and improve, become a better human being. That's when he becomes successful. So when he said this, the shepherd, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, what a statement came from the tongue of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. He looked at him and said, Subhanallah. He said, I swear by Allah, in whose hands is the life of Umar, that as long as the people like you are in the Ummah, then no sin can be committed on the face of the earth. Subhanallah. And such a great nur in Nabuwa. When a statement from the follower of Rasulullah came, that until Qiyamah, this statement was ingrained hard, that any person in his home, in his body, in his own life, in his children, his palace, in his home, in his kingdom, wherever a person is, as a leader, if he wants to keep himself and the people around him free from sin, then first he should have this recognition. The person who doesn't have this recognition, awareness, he cannot be from sin. A person who has this awareness can never implement a sin. Decision made. Decision made. Done. Deal done. So, if we want to be saved from sins, free from sins, or we want to save somebody from sins, then only one method. What is that? That we need to create the awareness that we are answerable to somebody. That we will be questioned. Somebody will ask me. I will have to give the answer. And the more we elevate this awareness, there's not just one level of this awareness and recognition and this emotion. How many levels of Jannah? More than 100. How many levels of Allah? Allah's Radha. Don't ask. So the more you increase your iman and certainty that Allah will ask, I have to answer, the more this increases and strengthens, then the more that individual gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. This is our target, our life target, subhanallah. Eat, drink, wear, enjoy the dunya. And mashallah, you've been given ijazah to eat. You've got chickens and fish and meat and bananas and fruits. Eat as much as you want. Pomegranates, drink pomegranate juice. Is there any restriction? Allah says enjoy. Apart from the 30 days of Ramadan, Allah has not told us to cease, refrain from eating and drinking, enjoying ourselves. Allah has not told us not to eat, has He? If Allah Ta'ala said for a year you cannot eat, what could we do? We have to obey. Is this our fathers? No. Allah orders. But Allah has not restricted us. If 30 days we go silent, we don't. We go silent. We just sit there in the corner. Allah has told us not to eat and drink. So Allah says, if 1 year you can't eat, what can we do? So Allah is Kareem, Rahim, merciful. Allah says, eat what you want. Openly. And you can meet your wife whenever you want. As Allah says, enjoy yourself. Even Ramadan, you have that time. How Allah is Kareem and merciful. Allah has not prevented us. But Allah says that when I tell you to implement certain orders, you must do that. Work according to my orders, that keep my recognition and awareness within you. Just like the Sahaba Ikram. They had the certainty of Allah. Allah says, I'll continue to be pleased with you. And if Allah is pleased with somebody, subhanAllah, then subhanAllah, the heavens and the earth in between is full of the rahmah for the person. So why do we cry and complain? Why? We are Muslims and we cry? We complain and criticize. Let's look towards our countries. Let's glance to our country. We have excuses. They do this to us. This other country is against us. This home doesn't. Forget the names of the other countries. We keep on blaming others. That we are the most wretched. That we've left our own God and Allah. And we've left our Lord. We've left obeying Allah. And we complain about others. One, subhanAllah, thought has come into our mind that we've left Allah and then we blame this country, that continent. These people are enemies. They are against us. It's due to that person. Nobody can harm anybody. If you are Allah's friend, that's it. You have ease in life. You have a smooth life, comfortable. So we need to do one thing, that we need to join and connect ourselves to Allah. Allah gives food, Allah gives rizq, Allah gives wealth, Allah gives children, Allah makes the dead come alive, Allah gives shafa, cure to the ill, Allah hears those who have no one, Allah takes the difficulties away, gives shifa, cure, Allah elevates the status, Allah gives nur, Allah gives happiness. Everything is due to Allah, and we are far from Allah. So what kind of destructive scenario we are in? So what do we need to do to get close to Allah? That we need to consider Allah as our boss. He will ask us tomorrow, tell me what rubbish did you implement in your lives? So will we commit sins then? Will we? Never ever. As Umar radiallahu anhu said, impossible that you will commit a sin. Impossible that you will commit a sin. Impossible. Do you understand what I'm saying easily? This has come into our minds as the penny dropped into our heads, our minds. Because this is a lecture, isn't it? What's the lesson? That we need to recognize that we are answerable to Allah, and we need to elevate this recognition. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you strengthened today's lesson? Shall I stop here? Has everyone succeeded now? We are mad if we think the lesson has ended. Yes? Then this is even worse. Okay, we've heard the lecture, let's go home now. I don't give a bayan like this. Then after I establish the point, I give the cure. That how can we elevate our recognition? That we're answerable to Allah. Should we just stop here? I say, oh, what a great bayan. Hazrat Sahib, mashallah. What a great bayan. Great speech. He spoke well. I'll ask you, are we all remedied now? How will we implement this point? No, we don't know. We don't know the solution. I'm not that type of ustad who presents the case and then goes away without the... My students used to get first class. When I used to educate in the classes, then my students used to get first class results. And they said, please, they pleaded, please continue to teach. I resigned. I said, no, I just worked for a few days. And here now it's been pretty lengthy with you. Pretty lengthy. So, the best class that I give the higher class results to my students, inshallah. First class you will get if you obey what I'm saying, understand what I'm saying. Otherwise, I could have said, discharge you, I've given you a lecture, I've told you. But we don't have the recognition. Then you'll ask me, we've understood the point, but how do we create this awareness and recognition of Allah? You could soon ask you, so why were you running away? When you said, yes, we understand. You should say, "What? How do we develop this recognition of Allah? Allahu Akbar, my style of speaking is ajeeb. Ajeeb. So think now that how do we develop this? May Allah allow this, that our awareness and recognition increases. How do we elevate this? How? Isn't it? How do we do this? How do we develop the recognition of Allah? That this feeling in our hearts that we're answerable to Allah, Allah is our boss, Allah is watching. How do we develop this? Yes, there's a tariqah, there's a method that can strengthen this day by day. And clearly the Quran has prescribed how to achieve this. Don't we know? وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Subhanallah. Hadith. That as a person continues to do the dhikr of Allah, remember Allah, subhanallah. Look at this point. As an individual, the servant of Allah continues to do dhikr of Allah, the first thing that develops in his heart, the nur, the light, due to doing dhikr of Allah. Listen carefully. The first emotion, feeling, result that touches on his heart is the feeling that I am answerable to Allah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the dhikr of Allah, my friends. This is not a game. It's not a drama. That's why Allah says, do my dhikr kathira, in high quantity. This is such a dangerous generation we're living in, that the whole dunya is sat back and rested, and the recognition in the men and the women and the children has ended, that Allah is watching us, we are in desperate need of the dhikr of Allah. This is the one method that will save us, the dhikr of Allah. This is the one action that will develop that result, that Allah is watching us and we answer, wahid, this action will save this ummah, I tell you. On this day and age too, to fight off the shaitan and nafs, and this illness that we are not answerable to Allah, only dhikr will cure this. When a person does dhikr, the first feeling that develops in the heart of the dhakir is that Allah is watching me and I'm answerable to Allah. And Allah, 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 he starts to remember that Allah is watching and he or she is answerable to Allah. And as this sense develops and strengthens, and as with sincerity, if he continues to do dhikr of Allah, and he does a dhikr of Allah, kathiran kathira, kathir or dhikr is not that you do it on the amount, that I'm doing so many hundreds or thousands. There's no limit to the quantity. The kathira, dhikr kathira is what? Is that Allah's azmat, Allah's greatness, Allah's strength, His jalal, His power starts to descend, the feelings descend onto the heart of the dhikr, subhanallah. And this is kathira, this is the asal, genuine dhikr of Allah. And as Allah's greatness and power and glory and jamal and kamal, it starts to penetrate the heart of the dhakir with the permission of Allah, then this is called ta'aluk ba Allah. Ta'aluk ma Allah. The link, the connection with Allah is being made, strengthened, because he's making the link with his heart, connecting himself to Allah, and his yaqeen and certainty starts to strengthen, become stronger, stronger, and his awareness of Allah, is Allah is watching, it develops. Oh, I can't do this. Allah is watching me. Always the fear of Allah overcomes, overwhelms that person's actions. What will Allah say? We say, what will he say? What will she say? If I don't do this, what will they say? If I get late, what will boss say? If this happens, what will he say? If this we say this, don't we? So then that person, from his mouth, one statement comes out, that if I do this action, what will Allah say? What will Allah say? This is breaching the trust of Allah with Allah. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Then the rights that person implements for the whole world, the people of the world, with this recognition, that if I don't fulfill the rights, what will Allah say? My wife's rights I don't fulfill, what will Allah say? Yaar, if I work for this person, if I don't work correctly for this person, what will Allah say? My rizq is haram. Have you seen this? Just Allah, Allah, everywhere he turns, Allah, what will Allah say? He cannot do any action in opposition to Allah's desires. And if this recognition is not developed and he's doing dhikr, then his dhikr is not correct, I tell you. So judge yourself by this, that life, if in your life your recognition of Allah is diminishing, the fear of Allah is diminishing, and you're not feeling that what will Allah say, then your anger will go, anger with the wife, and the wife's anger with the husband, the rights will come suddenly in your life, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Am I right or am I wrong? Your rights, the rights of others will come in front of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? For this reason, in the whole ma'ashra today, there's dhulam, oppression. As Umar radiallahu said, that wherever this statement is said, there can be no dhulam, no oppression. End of story, isn't it? So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, from his blessed tongue, when words came, then Allah Ta'ala also gave hidayat at that time to the Muslimin. Allah, for example, that when they said, Ya Rasulullah, if this can happen, that can happen, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was thinking them from above, Allah Ta'ala would reveal the verse. The whatever Umar has said, this is correct. Allahu Akbar. He didn't say this for no reason, did Rasulullah, that if after me there was a Nabi, it would be Umar. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said that if you want to revive your generation, nothing can. The dhikr of Allah, do it. Then this is the message of the dhikr of Allah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu has given us the message. That do the dhikr of Allah so that your awareness and recognition of Allah increase in your heart. And when that generation comes, when there's kharafat, sins, then do the dhikr of Allah kathira. Don't leave it. Don't leave the remembrance of Allah. Inshallah, the recognition, awareness of Allah will increase. But how will I give the answer? How will I answer to Allah? How dare then we say anything wrong or do anything wrong? So now do you understand the point? This is the dhikr of Allah. So how much we should be grateful to Allah. So much grateful. The whole of Bolton, there are just these people who are doing the dhikr of Allah at this moment in time. Subhanallah, imagine. So will this dhikr go empty-handed? Will we leave empty-handed? No. Impossible that you are doing dhikr of Allah and you are leaving empty-handed. Impossible. Definitely you will attain the fruits. Definitely. Oh yes, 100%. Definitely. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Have a bit of courage, determination, try yourself, and recognize nafs and shaitan. This is a big point that today I've explained to you, that when sins are being committed, nafs and shaitan are attacking you, straight away understand that within me, the recognition and awareness of Allah has diminished. Grab hold of the tasbih. I'm not saying that Hazrat Sahib said 100, do 120, 50, 60. No, just take the tasbih and start doing dhikr of Allah. When you feel weakness, start doing sins, shaitan and nafs are influencing you. Why am I feeling like this? Why am I not fearing Allah at this moment in time? Think yourself at that time. Why am I not implementing the right action? When this feeling develops, you won't need police. You won't, at that time, did the shepherd have police next to him? When the shepherd gave the answer to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, that where's Allah? I have to answer to Allah. He had fear in his heart, didn't he? So was the police running after him? Or watching him? Was there a spy over him? Was there a CID there? No, nothing at that time. So who was saving him from the sins? Allah was saving him from the sins. Allah, subhanAllah. Allah was saving him. And today, if you go to a store, a shop, and why don't you commit theft in a store? Yes, people in our lands, they come, why aren't you stealing? Oh, there's a camera. Yeah, technology there now, there's security cameras, or the security guards there, he's watching. So the thief is scared. He's watchful. That's why he doesn't commit theft. As soon as the cameras turn, he steals. You understand what I'm saying? But the mu'min, what is his status? Why doesn't he steal? Allah is watching. Aha. Aha. Nafs, it is being overcome. MashaAllah, you are a man. You also have desire to go to a woman, go to a pub, drink alcohol, have a dance, go to a club. We're not angels, are we? Inside, we all have passion, desires, don't we? All of us. Everyone has shaitan inside. There's no one sat here in front of me that who doesn't have that desire, that flame burning. Who is there who doesn't have the desire for women and girls? Everyone. You all men, aren't you? Yeah, you all men. You have these desires. But, those people who don't do these actions, I say a G point, they don't go to the place to consume alcohol or a club or a bar. I say this, many people don't go there for out of fear of the world. What will the world say? And then in the darkness they go. In the night they go. They do all the actions then. Under the darkness, the cloud of darkness, their computers open, their phones open. Everything opens when they're on their own. And all the sins are committed. They consume alcohol. I've seen homes, families, Muslims, men, women, who sit down and drink alcohol. And they've got in the fridge bottles of alcohol. Allahu Akbar. Yes, this is in our ma'ashara, in our society. I'm speaking about our own people. I observe these things, ma'ashara, society. I need to discuss with you, share with you. Wallahi, we've seen this. We've seen people's families, households. What's going on? They celebrate Eid and they teach their children. Their children go to masjid, learn Quran. They have alcohol at home. They sit in the evening, husband and wife, children are sitting there, and they say to the daughter, go out and make boyfriends. What are you doing at home? 14-year-old daughters, go make boyfriends. It's okay. This is our ma'ashara society. We're Muslims. They're Muslims. Yeah, you cannot say they're kafir, that they don't have iman. That's why? Because the recognition of Allah has been lost. The awareness of Allah has been lost, and then the sin, it overtakes the life. Don't let this drop. And be grateful to Allah that there's no cure for this. You cannot correct this from aqidah, education. Don't lose heart. Don't lose courage. Don't lose hope. Grab hold of the tasbih. If you commit sin, don't lose hope. If you do zina, don't lose hope. If you consume alcohol, don't lose hope. If you do a sin, don't lose hope. If for the dhakir, this is his quality characteristic, that dhikr of Allah has come to him. He says, Allah, I've made a mistake. Allah, 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 Allah. And they do 100,000 tasbih, Allah, Allah. Do tawbah. Repent. And then develop your recognition of Allah, awareness of Allah. And I will say, ah, he's got recognition, awareness, that he knows Allah is displeased with me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the point? Yes. So the dhakir is a great individual of the fadal of Allah, grace of Allah. Whenever a situation arises, sins coming to you, take the tasbih. You know the tasbih I've given to you? They won't break. They won't break. Tuck. Yes, and start, mashallah, the dhikr of Allah straight away at that time. And then if you see a woman, or your eye glances, the evil eye, or you do something wrong, why do you lose hope? Don't lose hope. Allah Ta'ala, is he far from us? Subhanallah. That Allah Akbar, I'm murid. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm closer to you than your own jugular vein. Why are you afraid? We start to get, lose hope, do more sins. Oh, I've committed the sin. What's the point now? Let's do some more sin. No, 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 no. Straight away, take the tasbih. And do the dhikr of Allah. I've made a mistake. I say, no problem. You've done my dhikr. And I elevate and increase and strengthen your awareness even more now. So don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. Dhakir never loses heart and hope. Take the tasbih. Make yourself light. Do so much dhikr that the tasbih is in your hand when you're departing from the world. Subhanallah. The angels will also be, Master Hashem, this one, he was a sinner when he was dying. He had a tasbih in his hand. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This tasbih is a proper sign. I've given this to you. Who has the tasbih? Put your hands up. Who's taken the tasbih from me? Subhanallah. You don't have tasbih? No? Okay, you take one as well then. Alright? So those who have tasbihs, keep the tasbihs in your hand, in your pocket. Death could come anytime. isn't it? I, with the rahmah of Allah, with the mercy of Allah, with the grace of Allah, I have so much hope in Allah that this tasbih will save us, inshallah, inshallah. Yes, is it a small thing, a tasbih? No. How many people have got this tasbih? Tell me, how many? In how many homes are the, is this tasbih that I'm speaking to you? How many homes? How many people don't have the tasbih? Is this a small thing? This is the key of Jannah that you've got, alhamdulillah. The key for paradise, yes. These tasbihs, colourful, you can't get them from me. Show me, do you get these from any store? £10, I give you, go and bring me one tasbih like this. Yeah? But our people are weird. I need a tasbih. I say, yeah, I gave you a tasbih. Yes, you gave it to me. I gave one to your wife. Yes, and the third, why do you need it? He said, sometimes it happens that tasbih, my wife somewhere else. And then, for example, I keep one here as well down. I say, subhanAllah, that tasbihs can't be given like this in every home. 3-4 tasbihs that a person needs. Can't do it like this, can we? That, for example, wherever you've left it, get the tasbih back. This is not right, is it? The person who doesn't have tasbih, say to him, there's a shortage now. And so this tasbih is very useful and beneficial, alhamdulillah. This is the key of Jannah that we've got. Allah Ta'ala has given this to us. The Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi Ramtrai's Jamaat has this tasbih only. That's it. No other Naqshbandi will you find this tasbih dhikr. This is the kamal of Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi Ramtrai, this tasbih. Yes, remember this clearly. This is his kamal. But this for those of understanding, always Hazrat would speak for his Jamaat, alhamdulillah. Great Jamaat he had, and he'd speak for his Jamaat. Hazrat himself, with a cool heart, he would do dua in Barakbada, Allah, me and my Jamaat, that the Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi Ramtrai's standard and flag on the Day of Judgment, lay a standard and his flag. And imagine the standard and flag of Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi Ramtrai, that the Kutub of his time, my Hazrat Sahib is doing the dua. I heard this from my Hazrat Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, his dua. This is what he made his dua. His dua, that Allah, me and my Jamaat, allow us on the day of resurrection to stand under the flag of Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi Ramtrai, who is the Sheikh of my Hazrat Sahib. This is how big is this silsila. Do you understand my point? That's it. So do the dhikr of Allah and do dua for me, and I'll do dua for you as well. Ameen.